Well, hello. Welcome to the Good Samaritan Baptist Church Adult Sunday School class. We will be in lesson number 7, the message to Sardis. We covered the previous churches. Jesus singled out 7 churches to talk to, and this lesson here centers on Sardis. Before we get started, I want to say we're in the Watkins Glen Gorge. We're up at the just up off the first level, off the trail, the Indian Trail. Behind me there is Watkins Glen, the town. So it's just too nice to sit inside and do this, so I thought I'd come up here and check it out. So before we start, I also want to bring up some prayer requests. And by the way, if you have some prayer requests that you'd like to share, I can put them on Facebook. It's on Facebook. Again, when we're on Facebook, it's just our church members. Steve San Marco and Arlene Watson and Bill and Jackie and Dave and Chris and me and Jeannie, Pastor and Bev. And I'm not sure if any others, if there are, there may be a few others who... like Archie, I don't know if he's on it or not, but it's just us church folks, so don't be nervous about asking a prayer request or something that you might think will get out to the general public, but it's not. It's just us of our church and of Life Faith there, the ones who've been to our church. So I've got some prayer requests here. Number one is for my wife, Jeannie. We went to see a Zoom thing with the television, I forget what you call it, where our doctor is on the camera, and we're being recorded as well. It's like a phone call, but with the cameras. We had a conference with them, and we decided that we're going to possibly look into doing a different type of ostomy for Jeannie. That would eliminate all the problems she's having, and it wouldn't be that much of an operation if the surgeon agrees to even try it. So that may be something that will be happening Monday or Tuesday, even though this coming up week. So please keep that in prayer. Right now, Jeannie's doing fairly good. She's getting some strength back from the last episode she had, and glad to be home. But also, I see that Wilma Damascus put on for her grandson Rodney Behan. Some of you know Rodney. He came to our church quite a long time ago. He's Paul Behan's brother. He's got lung cancer. And plus, she asked for that he would get closer to the Lord. Also, I got because of this coronavirus thing here, that we probably could use some prayer for each other. I think of Grandma Jenny and Bill and Jackie and others who maybe can't get out. Maybe even Chris. I don't know if you know what's going on with you guys. You know, Dave's home from he's out in school now. So it can get old after a while, just being trapped in the house and not being able to leave and do anything. So just keep each other in prayer. I'm not sure what's going to happen on Sunday morning for Easter, if we're going to meet at the church, those who are able to drive, or not. I'm not sure if I'm going to go or not. I think Pastor and Beth are sure we're going to be there, but I'm not sure if me and Jeannie are going to make it or not. But just keep our church in prayer as well. We need prayer to be faithful, not only to our Lord and Savior, but to each other, to our church. But also to be a witness to those we have, what little contact we have. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now anyway. Father, thank you for your blessings and mercy. We do thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to do this lesson and this opportunity to be out outside, and Lord, also to be in the gorge here and going around. And I just pray that as we do this lesson, Father, that you can be glorified and honored in all that we do. Lord, I do pray for my wife, that you would encourage her, strengthen her. I pray for this possible operation, Lord, that it would be what you would want, that it would be something, Lord, that you would help my wife with, that she could have some more time with us, but also not be in pain and discomfort. I pray also for Rodney Behan, that you help him, heal him of his cancer. Please help him, Lord. Encourage him and be with Wilma and Paul as well. Encourage them. And Lord, be with our folks at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. Encourage us, Lord, and help us, Lord, not to be discouraged as we're locked in and not being able to gather together. Be with the other churches and Christians around the country, Lord, who are in the same boat, but some are even being persecuted and harassed by law enforcement. Some are even being arrested and fined for even trying to, even though they're following the guidelines, Father, it's just a mess. But I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to keep us faithful and just help us right now as we do this lesson and help us to encourage each other, Lord. And I pray, Father, we can be reunited soon back in church. Thank you for this lesson, Lord, and the thing that Jesus taught and was trying to teach to these churches. Lord, help us to pay attention that we can see the needs in our own lives, Lord, and where we need to repent or where we need to make things right, do things a little differently. Help us, Lord. Help us to look inside and to look to you for guidance. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the sunshine, but sorry, I got to keep this hat on. Otherwise, I go blind. All right. The message to Sardius. Key verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. The church of Sardius is the least attractive of the seven churches in Revelation. Jesus had nothing good to say about this congregation. The church in Sardius was dead. To mankind, death is the end of the road, and there is nothing that will change things once death occurs. However, with God, all things are possible. The resurrection power of Jesus can only work in a graveyard. Jesus recognized this church as his own, and he would be able to bring it back to life and glory if these people would hear and heed this message. That's the key right there. People are told the truth if only they'll act on it, repent, and turn back to Christ. It can make all the difference in the world for all eternity. An optimist might say that where there is life, there is hope. The truth is that where Jesus is, there is hope, no matter what the circumstances. Even death can be conquered through our faith in Christ. Let's never forget that. Only Jesus is able to bring life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins. At this time, the city of Sardis was one of the greatest cities in the world. Sardis was the capital of the kingdom of Lydia. And about 600 years before Jesus, the city was ruled by the fabulously wealthy king, Herodias. Never heard of him. Sardis was built on a mountain about 1,500 feet above the valley below. This made the city almost immune to military assault. However, the city fell twice to enemies, once to the Persians and again to the Greeks. Both conquests were because the city of Sardis was so confident and complacent that the rulers failed to set guards on the wall. In the night, enemy soldiers scaled the hill to the city and entered in through the unguarded gates. The church of Sardis is characterized by that complacent spirit. This is also revealed in the attitude of the church that worshiped there. They thought they were impenetrable. They were up on top of this hill, kind of like Posada, kind of. Okay, be honest. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Jesus' introduction to these churches gives us a valuable clue to the real need of each church. In this case, Jesus called himself the one who had the seven spirits of God. There is only one Holy Spirit, but the number seven is used to teach the completeness of the Spirit in Christ. There is no division in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is in complete harmony with the Father and the Son in all matters. The Holy Spirit never leads us contrary to the revelation of the Word of God or the teaching of the Son of God. Holding the seven stars means that Jesus is immediate as well as ultimate control, immediate as well as ultimate control of all His churches. Jesus is the head of each church, and because He is, it is never the prerogative of the members of any church to set up its form of government or to determine the nature of the ministry of that church. We always say that in our church, Jesus Christ is the head of our church. He's the one who's in charge of everything. He gives us certain things to do to run the building, but Jesus is ultimately in charge. He's the one who runs the whole show. I've been in church before where man sometimes thinks that he's in charge and that he knows what's right. This is solely the discretion of the church, Jesus. Well, this is solely the decision of the head of the church, Jesus. The members of any church are labor, not management. Interesting. The people in Sardis had forgotten this truth and had usurped the authority that belonged to Jesus. I got written here, churches that have women pastors who think it's okay to have a woman pastor. That's where they set Jesus aside and decided themselves, well, even though the Bible teaches against this, we think this is the modern way to do things and that Jesus would be okay with it. Or even churches that have sodomite pastors, completely ignoring what Jesus taught in the Bible, they think that we know what's right. This is good for our church. And Jesus would understand. Well, Jesus doesn't. He does understand. He understands that they're just like in those in Sardis, that they're a law unto themselves, and they put Jesus aside. Jesus pointed out that the Christians in Sardis were believers in name only. And we all know folks like that who claim to be Christians but show absolutely no evidence at all, no fruit at all of being a Christian. Let's see here. They may appear to be alive to others, but they are dead to Christ. Many churchgoers have a fondness for church, but not a real love for Jesus Christ. They like going to church. It's more of a social club. You've all heard that phrase before. They're not going there so much. They're not going really to worship Jesus, but just to hang out with friends and fellowship and to have fun. Nothing, not really to be encouraged and to be strengthened in the Lord. They are looking for happiness to share, not for a cross to bear. Interesting way they put that. In order to be dead, though, this church must have been alive at one time. However, as the years went by, the truth had slipped away one soul at a time, and the emptiness of spiritual death had replaced the vitality of spiritual life. There is no condemnation for any good thing that took place in Sardis, no commendation. Jesus didn't commend them on anything. But then there also is no mention of any persecution that the church was enduring. Jesus immediately told this church what they needed. Importantly, He did not reject them. That's the important thing. He was giving them another chance. He offered them a way of recovery, and He revealed Himself as Lord of all things. Revelation chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Judgment's coming for all of us. But boy, those who are only pretending to be Christians, they're going to be the ones who are going to hear, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Boy, what heartache. That can't even be comprehended, the heartache that that's going to bring to people when they hear those words from the Lord. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. By the way, only those who've never received Christ as Savior are going to hear that. But the ones who thought they were saved or pretended they were saved and fooled even others and even themselves, they'll hear that, unfortunately. The primary thing the church in Sardis needed was to wake up or to be aware of their situation. They needed to honestly face the condition of their church and stop pretending that their reputation was reality. Many people are overly concerned about what others think of them or their church. But ultimately, the only opinion that is important is the judgment of Jesus. Again, there's going to be a white throne judgment where the lost are judged, and that's not going to be a pretty sight. We are not going to be in that judgment, but we will be in the judgment seat of Christ. We won't be judged for our sin, but we will be judged for what we've done for Him. First step to finding a cure is to admit that we have a disease. First thing a person needs to know about being saved is that they're lost. They need to realize and to see that they're lost and separated from God, that they're alienated from Him. They need to repent and get back and to come back to Christ or to get saved. The next thing they needed to do was to strengthen the things that were left. Jesus knew their works, and He knew that they needed to emphasize the positive things they were doing and discard the ways they had strayed from the truth. Their actions may have been right, but their motives were wrong. This was a church that was overly concerned about impressing people. I got written here, there was a church that some of us in our church remember, maybe we go soul winning. And they had a soul-winning conference that a youth would go to up in Canada, Niagara Falls. And this church that was near us, they would go pound on doors, and boy, they would do everything and anything to get someone to say that prayer so they could chalk it off as another one saved, because that church had a contest, and the church that had the most souls saved won some kind of prize. And I could see the shallowness of what they were doing, even though I had done it to a certain extent myself. Not so much fooling people, but I didn't really see the repentance. They just said, yeah, they wanted to be saved, but there was no repentance there, even though they just said it. Strengthening ourselves involves examining our motives and making our motives right. We must remember that God reads our hearts. He not only knows what we do, He also knows why we are doing it. God knows us better than we know ourselves. When Jesus saves our souls from sin and puts eternal life in our hearts, we have permanent motive to serve Him forever. We have a permanent motive to serve Him forever. If Jesus does not live in our hearts as our personal Savior, then any other motive we might have will eventually fade, and we will stop whatever we are doing for the Lord. And we've all seen that. We've seen people who are all on fire in the beginning, and boy, they're coming to church and doing things for the Lord, and the next thing you know, they don't come anymore, slowly stop coming, and then you see them outside of church, and they're not talking right, they're not living right. And you can tell something's not right. Either they were never saved or they are really backslidden. Well, let's see. This church needed to remember, obey, and repent. Of course, they had heard the gospel. This life-giving message had been preached in Sardis. This is why the church was there. Jesus urged them to remember that when they heard the gospel, they also had contact with the Holy Spirit. The word had come to them in power of the Spirit. And I mean, here in Watkins, I used to deliver the highlights and walk all through the town, all through the upper end of it. And Watkins, Montour, all the little towns, even Dresden, they all had big churches. A lot of them are even gone now, but there's still plenty. And I look at some of these huge churches, some of them, you know, so ornate and very much been very expensive and time-consuming to build back in the day. And I'm thinking the dedication that people had, the resources they gave to build the church, maybe even the labor they put into it. And now the churches are their apartments, or they're just empty, abandoned. And they must have been full at one time. Some of them churches will hold 300-400 people easy. And I'd like to have seen them in their heyday, but they've slowly just died off. People just fell away, and the church just kept getting smaller and smaller, and so sad. All right. There is only one way to bring the Holy Spirit into our lives, and it is very simple. We must repent and believe. Nothing's changed over 2,000 plus years. It's still the same way. Repent and believe. We repent when we look honestly at ourselves and admit that our attitudes and actions have been wrong. Our appraisal of ourselves is wrong in the sight of God. Our vision has been blurred by sin, and we are going in the wrong direction. Then we must make the important step of actually turning away from the error and turning toward the truth. I was that way. I thought if someone had asked me, well, are you going to heaven to die? Sure. Well, why would you say that? Because I'm a good person. I haven't murdered anyone, and I'm not that bad of a person. Compared to the guys around me, I'm not that bad. I was in error. And when in a Bible study, when Ron Elliott pointed out to me through the scriptures that I was a sinner and lost, that God was not, I was not okay with God. God was not pleased with me. But he was wanted me to be saved and to repent. And when I realized that I could be forgiven for all the sins like that I had committed, that I didn't think that were that bad, but after reading going to a Bible study, then I realized how bad a lot of those sins were. All the sins were bad, and I repented. And I was so thankful that God was willing to forgive me. And that I realized there was nothing I could do except fall on His mercy and beg Him for forgiveness. And that's what I did. To believe means we cast ourselves totally on the grace of God through Jesus Christ. We must receive Him into our hearts personally. Faith will follow repentance. Then Jesus told this church that they must recover the only true hope that is available to Christians anywhere in any age. What is that hope? That is the hope that Jesus will soon return to the earth. Boy, during this time of this pandemic, or whatever you want to call it, boy, a lot of people are thinking that way now. Is this the end? Is Jesus coming soon? Even non-believers are scratching their head wondering, gee, is there something going on here that I'm missing? I've heard Christians talk about stuff like this. Is this what's really happening? This is just the beginning. Maybe not even the beginning of the beginning, but the beginning of getting ready for the beginning. So it is a good chance to be a witness, even though we can't really talk to anybody, per se, face-to-face. Not really, like you couldn't go door-to-door or anything. But, again, there's ways to witness in this time. If you're on Facebook, you can put posts on Facebook. If you're sitting at home, you get a pen and paper, and just if you think of somebody and you know their address, write them a note. Give them a track and just say, I was thinking about you, and, you know, during these dark times, and just wanted to share this truth of God's mercy and grace to you. Now is the time to reach out. All the time is the time to reach out. But now we have a little bit of an open door where we didn't have it a couple weeks ago. Let's see. We're looking for that hope that Jesus will soon return to the earth. The great hope of the Lord's churches since the very beginning is that Jesus will come back again. But this church here, they were living for the past glory and present praise and had little hope for the future. This is exactly the opposite of the way God intends for His children to live. We are to live every day, not longing for the world to come to an end, but we are should be longing for Jesus' return. Many times my wife will say, "Oh Lord Jesus, please come." And we all of us think about, we want the rapture to happen. And we want it to happen as soon as possible. And the older you get in the Lord, and physically, the more we want Jesus to come, and to come quickly. But while we're waiting, let's be a witness. Because it will be sad when Jesus does come and we are raptured out of here, to think back that we thought so much about getting out of here and we didn't tell others about it, so they didn't have a chance to get out. We need to be mindful of others. We should forget the past and press forward toward the hope of the calling in Christ. Let's not dwell on our past failures. Let's be busy starting now. Let's just work for the Lord. Let's do things for Him now. Time and again, Jesus commanded His people to watch, be sober and alert. This was the need in Sardis. They weren't looking for Christ's return. Their church was just a big social club and they were having a good time. They thought they were right and they were wrong. Revelation chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear to hear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Everyone in Sardis was not spiritually dead. There were some faithful people who had not made a false profession and had not gone to sleep in their service to Jesus. These folks were not worthy because they had behaved properly. They didn't earn their salvation. They were worthy because Jesus had cleansed them from their sins and imparted to them His own righteousness, just like you and I. When we come to Him, Jesus freely gives us what our works can never earn. We can never earn our salvation. Jesus promised that He would not blot their names out of the book of life. Many Christians are troubled by the thought that they might lose their salvation because they behave badly. And I thought that many times. I think even Dave Grander and I talked about it one time where we weren't sure if we were saved. We remember, you know, getting saved, but because of the things we may have said or done or thought, we thought, am I really saved? Well, does a Christian don't live back this way? And I wanted to encourage you, all of us from time to time have had those thoughts, and I think Satan puts them in our minds because we can't lose our salvation. But if Satan can convince us we were lost, or that we lost it, maybe we'll just give up and not live for the Lord anymore. I met Christians that way. I believe they were Christians, but they were fooled into thinking they lost it. And so they just gave up. And God pricked their hearts, but they felt like, no, according to my church teaching or whatever, I'm lost and I can't get it back or whatever. Don't be fooled that way. Revisit your salvation. Just go through in your mind. And according to Scripture, say, according to Scripture, that's what I did. I am saved. Let's see here. So many Christians are troubled about losing their salvation. Jesus said that He will never, ever, under any circumstances, blot their names out of the book of life. No matter how bad we live, no matter how far we may backslide away from the Lord, if we were truly saved, we're truly saved. And we're not going to lose it. He's not going to drop us out of His hand, and no one else is going to take us out of His hand either. But the important thing about living for the Lord is the rewards. Again, I don't understand it completely, but I know that when we stand before Christ, by the way we lived our Christian life, we can earn rewards by leading people to Christ, or at least having a desire to, even if we weren't physically able to do it. Being faithful to church when we're able to. Being encouraging to the brethren. You know, doing those kind of things, you earn rewards, and those are rewards that we'll give to Christ. And when we stand before Him, we're going to want to give Him things, that we're not going to want to keep from ourselves. We're going to so much desire to give them to Jesus. And the more we have, the better. And so even the thief on the cross, he may have had one reward maybe just for having faith and trusting in Christ. And that's all he had to give. But he's glad he had that. But let us not stand before Christ and only have a few rewards when we had ample opportunity to have more. Pastor Rice, I don't know, you may have to critique that. Maybe I'm a little bit off on that, but that's the way I understand it. So as Christians, yeah, we need to be living for the Lord constantly. We need to be trying to please Him and doing the things He's commanded us to do out of love for Him. Not because, I better do this so I can get the rewards. We're going to want those rewards. It's going to be a blessing to us to be able to give them to the Lord, cast them at His feet, I think it says. All right. So revisit your salvation often. Reassure yourself. Yep, the Bible says I need to do this. I can think back. That's what I did. Jesus is faithful. If we truly repent and ask Him to save us, He will. He'll not forsake us. No matter how great a message is, it is only profitable to those who hear it. We can be in the presence of powerful preaching and never truly listen to what is said. The closing words of this letter include the same warnings given in all of the other churches that Jesus talked them to. The Bible is profitable for us in every way, but we have to hear it, and we have to heed it. I wrote in here, and we have to read it, all of it. Not just select portions, not just the words in red, all of it. Not just the New Testament, not just the Gospels, all of it. From Genesis to Revelation, or as pastors say, from the index to maps, all of it. I like our church and our emphasis the pastor gives on us reading the scriptures through. Boy, if you can read through the scriptures in 1 year or listen to all of it, do it. Every year, do it. Or as often as you feel able to do it. Attending worship services is great, but doing so will not save a lost soul. I tell you what, a different note. I enjoy doing these things. Coming out and filming and editing and putting them on Facebook. But it doesn't hold a candle to standing in our church, looking at you folks face to face, you know, talking back and forth. And, I just long to get back in church and back to that way again. This is kind of neat, but it don't hold a candle to that. I would so much rather be in church, being able to fellowship each other. Boy, I miss that. But just because someone comes to church, doesn't mean, you know, they can still be lost in going to church. Church membership is very valuable, but it is an empty farce for those who are not saved. It's all just a game. Don't mean nothing. Living a good moral life is commendable under any circumstance, but doing so will not result in salvation. Remember, you cannot earn, we understand that. We can't earn our salvation. We can be as good as we can, be as good as we can and fool a lot of people, but you ain't gonna fool the Lord. That ain't coming from your heart. You're not saved. Being baptized is an imitation of the actions of Jesus, but it is a hollow, meaningless ritual unless we are saved first. Many people, my children included, were baptized as babies because I was deluded into thinking I did it out of it because I was fooled into thinking that if my children were baptized, that they were guaranteed heaven. I didn't know nothing about God or the Bible, only a teeny little bit. I wasn't saved. But I was, as any parent who loved their children and were a little bit fearful, I wanted to give my children every opportunity to live a long life and maybe go to heaven someday. And they were baptized as babies. I didn't understand a thing about it. That's what the church at the time that I was at, or my wife was a member of, that's what they taught. And after they... after I got saved and started going to church, and my children all got saved one by one, they all got scripturally baptized. And I know my mother was concerned, saying, "Your children were already baptized. They don't need to be baptized again." And I had to explain to my mother. I said, "Mom, they weren't saved. Now they're saved, and they're doing it because they want to be baptized. It's not because I'm getting them baptized. They said, 'Dad, I'm saved. I need to be baptized.' And that's the way it's supposed to be." All right. So this is the message to Sardis, and we don't know that, you know, if any of them repented or not. Hopefully they did. We don't know about those who were already saved in that church, if they continued in the faith to the end, or if they backslid themselves. We don't know. But read the Bible, pray, revisit your salvation from time to time, encourage yourself in the Lord, encourage others as well. Let's try and be a witness as best we can in these uncertain times. We are uncertain times, but we are certain of this. Jesus is still in control. God's not scratching his head saying, what's going on with this virus? What's happening down there? He knows exactly what's happening. He's got a plan, and things are working according to his plan. He knows how well the virus and how bad it is or whatever, and the persecution that's coming on us, not even us on us personally, but other Christians around the country. The Lord knows. All right. Next week is the message to Philadelphia. And that's going to be an interesting one. So again, if you have any prayer requests you'd like to share with the other group, with the rest of the group, you can send me a text on my phone, call me, or text me at 535-7721, or leave a comment if you're watching this video at the end. Just leave a comment, and I'll read the comment and take the prayer requests, and we'll bring them up. So let's just have a word of prayer. Father, again, I want to thank you for your blessings, your mercy, your grace, the beauty of your nature out here. But Lord, this doesn't hold the light, doesn't hold a candle to being as a group, Lord, a true church, being together, worshiping together, even in an old brick building. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity, for this blessing. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us in yourself, and I pray that we could be an encouragement to others as well. Be with those who are in need, again, my wife and Grandma Jenny and Bill and Jackie, and also Rodney Behan, Gary Lutrick, Lord, and his need for, as he's getting better, it's a praise, Lord, thank you for that. But also, Father, to sanctify your blessings and mercy, bring us back again next week at the appointed time. Pray in Jesus' name, amen.